Happy Wednesday to everyone. God bless you all. Welcome to Bible Sunshine here in the middle of the week. I'm glad you've joined us today, and I hope your Bible is open to Philippians chapter 2, that we can study the Word of God together. Praise the Lord for God's inspired Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So we praise the Lord for the profitable Word of God, and that it is indeed inspired, God-breathed. It is unlike any other book. What a blessing we have to study it together. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to strengthen us as we go to His Word this day. Father, thank you so much for the glory of the day. Thank you for life. Thank you for life spiritually in Christ. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Thank you for the inspired text of Scripture. And thank you, Lord, that you have preserved your Word, that we can enjoy it and read it in the year 2020. Make application to our hearts as we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been looking at Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 12, the passage that we could summarize like this: produce, Christian, produce. That is, bear the fruit of the life of God that's within you. Because you have been justified, declared righteous, because you're on a path of growing in sanctification, live out the reality of the Christian life day by day. We have several incentives here to live out this Christian life. And the first one is in verse 13, because God is at work in us. Thank the Lord for the work and empowering of God. And then in verses 14 and 15, here's a great incentive to produce a life of obedience, demonstrating our salvation, that we have a testimony to uphold. A testimony to uphold. And yesterday we looked at verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputing, a complaint. So I have a question for you. As you look back 24 hours, have you done any murmuring? Have you done any disputing? Well, if you have, feel free to go to God and confess and find forgiveness and cleansing there. I did a little murmuring myself. And so it's good to recognize this and go to the Lord and praise the Lord that He is very willing to forgive us when we murmur and when we dispute. Well, let's look at verse 15, why we should do things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, that the world around us may see us as God's children. We are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and by living out the life of God to a world around us, it will become evident in their eyes that we are children of God. And notice he says here, blameless and harmless. He wants us to live in a way that shows transparency, that we are the genuine article. We're not mixed. It's not part this and part something else, but it's genuine. It is true salvation, the true Christian life. You know, I believe in 2020 in the United States of America, there is a desperate need for genuine Christianity, for Christians who will say no to the world, say yes to Jesus, day by day decisions, that we will demonstrate what Peter has called us, and that is holy. Listen to these words from 1 Peter chapter 1. He says that as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in some of your conduct. No, in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. You've been bought. We have been bought with the blood of Jesus. And so God wants us to live out our lives as holy, genuine people. That's the harmless idea in Philippians chapter 2. Genuine, unmixed, not an alloy, but full Christianity. And how today genuine Christianity is needed in our world. That Christ will make a difference in our lives on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night, on Friday morning, on Friday night. That it's one genuine Christian life. Humanly impossible, but not impossible through the living Spirit of God who is living and working within us. So may we go to the Lord for strength and help to live out the life of God to a watching world. He says in verse 15 of Philippians, that chapter 2, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault. That no one will look to us and blame us for being hypocritical, not genuine in our Christian lives. May God help us to that end, that we would be the real thing. And he says here something that's very intriguing. I want you to think about this. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Paul said that in the first century. He told the Philippians, you are to live out the reality of being God's children, even though all around you is crooked. Does that remind you of our world today? A crooked world? And you hear so many things, even about this coronavirus, that sometimes you think, I don't even know what to believe. I don't know who's telling the truth, who's not telling the truth. That's our crooked world. I don't know what motives some people have. And you begin to trace money sometimes and you say, oh, could that be a connection? Is that why so-and-so wants such and such thing? And it just creates such confusion, such doubt. That's our world. That was Paul's world. That's our world. It's a crooked world because the world lies in the lap of the evil one, according to 1 John chapter 5. So we shouldn't be surprised at that. But what we should be surprised is that when we want to imitate the crooked world. You see, Paul doesn't say, because the world is crooked, you need to adjust to it. You need to adjust your way. No, God's thinking has always been opposed to the ways of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Ever since the Garden of Eden forward, God's truth, God's thoughts have been different from the devil's thoughts, the world system, and our own human flesh. So, we are not called upon here to adjust to the crookedness of the generation, but to shine as God's lights, to be God's holy children in the midst of this. What a wonderful calling we have. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it means that God is with us and he will help us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, notice also it says here, not only crooked, but perverse. Twisted, opposite of God's ways. Could I give you one example of this? God made it very clear in the book of Genesis what marriage is. It's one man and one woman. That's God's ideal plan. But today we're being told, even the Supreme Court of the United States has told us, no, it can be two men, it can be two women. And now there are others wanting to say, well, could it be more than one wife? What's the limit when we make marriage absolutely meaningless? There is no limit to the human perversion. We're in a perverted world. Does that give Christians an excuse? No, and I'm just grieved when I hear about so-called Christian leaders, Christian denominations, entertaining now same-sex marriages, performing ceremonies like that. adjusting to the crookedness of the generation. That's not what God has called us to do. He's called us to be distinct, to stand different. We don't hate anybody. We love everyone, but we love God's truth, and we stand on God's infallible truth. So we are called to speak the truth in love in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. It's never been popular to be committed to Christ, to be committed to the Word of God. That is exactly what we need today. I am appalled at a news headline from a Christian organization that I heard that the New York tax Samaritan's purse for setting up a hospital in Central Park to treat patients with COVID-19 virus and do it free of charge. That's unbelievable. I can't believe it. And they said, because there's a huge deficit in this state. Well, there are many thoughts about why there's a deficit, but you know what? I can't help but believe that there's a lot of crookedness going on and perversity. Does that give us an excuse to grow grumbling and hateful and mean? No, it does not. It gives us motivation to preach forth the truth of the Word of God and the light of the Word of God, because the light of God's Word makes a difference. It changes hearts. It changes lives. So may we shine forth with that truth. Notice what he says in verse 15. You're in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Isn't that exciting? Praise God. We are here with a purpose to shine as lights, to let our light shine. I can't even remember how little, how young I was when I first learned a little song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. So my friend, today, are you letting your light shine? Will you let it shine? Let it shine. Shine until Jesus comes. Jesus is coming back. Praise God. He's coming. So let us shine our lights no matter how dark the world around may be. When you're in a room that's completely dark and someone lights one, just one candle, what a difference it makes. So dear believing friend, be encouraged. If you're the only Christian in your family, if you're the only Christian in your workplace, if you're the only Christian in your town or your county, let your light shine. Don't be discouraged. Let it shine, and shine very brightly until Jesus comes back. May God help us to be blameless, harmless, without alloy, genuine, transparent, demonstrating ourselves to belong to God's family without fault, yes, in the midst of a crooked generation, but shining forth as God's lights. May God empower us, and may some soul in darkness see your light shine today. Well, let's go to prayer on this 13th day of May for the country of India. It's number 26th on the persecution ranking. India has over 1 billion people, souls that need Christ. Let's pray for Indonesia in Asia, 48th on the persecution ranking. Both of these countries have Christianity in the minority. Let's pray that God will bless his people there. Our Father, we thank you today that in the midst of darkness, you've called upon us to let our light shine. And dear Father, I pray that our lights would shine brightly wherever we are. And I pray for our brothers and sisters in India. Lord, I think of missionaries who are there. I think of your people who are there serving you, pastors who are there. Lord, I pray you would provide food and water and clothes and safety for them. I pray that their churches will not diminish but increase, that they will expand, they will grow, and that many souls will be reached with the gospel. We pray for strength for your people there. I pray, Lord, for Indonesia and the persecution that occurs there. I pray that your people will be strong. Multiply the Christian witness. Multiply the gospel message. Cause the believers there to shine brightly. And Father, right here in America, right here in New York City, may our lights shine brightly for Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you'll resolve this issue about the Samaritan's Purse ministry and how they were lovingly showing the love of Jesus and are still glad that they've done so. I pray this tax burden will be lifted off of them. But I pray no matter what, that their lights will shine brightly. And I pray, dear Father, for people that are sick with this virus today, that you will touch their bodies and raise them up. Give great wisdom, give great conviction, Lord, to our leaders, that they would turn to you and that the fear of God would be before their eyes. We ask in Jesus' wonderful and holy and powerful name. Amen. God bless you, dear friend. I'm so glad you've joined us today. Share this to a friend. Maybe someone else could be encouraged as we let the sunshine of God's word shine upon us. God bless you.